Jean Lambert, MEP from the Green Party.
Well, firstly, thank you very much for the invitation to be here. And secondly, following Tony Benn is always an extremely hard act, but I'll do my best. I think within this so-called war on terror, part of the strategy is if you concentrate on the religious dimension, you can actually move away from the politics, which is what really underpins it. The question about how do we find a settlement, the Middle East question, and indeed how do we live in peace throughout the world. That the way in which the war on terror has been used, not by this, just by this government, but elsewhere, has been to start a debate about how do we rebalance security against human rights. Well, for many of us, human rights is security, and that you cannot rebalance these things. Amnesty International says that there is a pattern emerging where the UK announces tough counter-terrorism measures that run counter to human rights standards, which other countries then say they need, and the UK in turn uses such statements to support its initial position. It's being used to drive down standards on human rights. The Council of Europe's Commissioner on Human Rights said that the UK had shown a tendency to consider human rights as excessively restricting the effective administration of justice and the protection of the public interest. He added, "It's perhaps worth emphasising that human rights are not a pick and mix assortment of luxury entitlements." That within the European Union since 2004, we have seen 27 pieces of legislation linked to an anti-terrorism title, and 12 more in the pipeline. And it seems that governments are not immune to this idea that if you don't sign up for anti-terrorist legislation and anti-terrorist measures, somehow that means you're on the side of people who want to bomb civilians. Unless, of course, they're governments, in which case somehow bombing civilians is all right. We have seen a compromise on the values which are supposedly under threat from terrorism, which anti-terrorism measures are supposed to defend. We're seeing discussion about whether under the European Convention on Human Rights, Article 3, which is an absolute prohibition on cruel and degrading treatment and torture, whether a little bit of torture wouldn't help. It's an absolute. There's no compromise on this. And yet, our government is beginning to think maybe it's inconvenient. In terms of our democratic rights, we are seeing our collective rights to protest taken away from us, deeply restricted. That we're seeing free speech deeply compromised. That passionate speech is now seen as an incitement to terrorism. So that means that, for example, if you're coming as a potential asylum seeker from somewhere like North Korea and have advocated the overthrow of the government there, you can be seen as a terrorist and therefore refused asylum. It's disgraceful. And we're also seeing, with under free speech, almost a form of self-censorship where we feel we can't engage in the open debate that maybe we want to have because the amplification of our debate begins to sound like a threat, exactly as the quotation from Selma Yacoub was saying. We're seeing a compromise on our international obligations under the European Convention on Human Rights. We're seeing a compromise on the question that you don't send people back to countries where they might face torture, whether that's Algeria, whether it's Jordan. We're signing memoranda of understanding. You know, which, what does that mean? We understand you won't torture this person, but we're going to shut up about the ones that you do torture. That we've seen a government which I think was shamefully quiet over the whole abomination that is still Guantanamo, where somehow we still cannot find a way of defending the rights of people who are resident in the UK but are not our citizens, people to whom we have given shelter, and we will not stand up for them against the American government. We are seeing, under this basis of the separation of communities, a total denial of the past, where we have seen a construct of separation in so many places. Sir Herman Ouseley's own report shows this, where the victims of racism were moved, not the perpetrators. So the failure to deal with racism in the past is part of what leads to what now looks like a separated community, which was never chosen by those within it. It was constructed. We are seeing the designing out now of communal space where we can meet each other on everyday basis, because all of that communal space is now becoming privatised, and God help us, you can't do politics in private spaces. That we're seeing multiculturalism under attack and integration becoming the buzzword, while we forget that integration is supposed to be a two-way process, and what are we giving within this? The use of the word Muslim itself has now become an insult. It fits headlines so neatly, doesn't it? That the only discussion that apparently you can now have with people of the Muslim faith is about their attitude to terrorism and are they for it or against it. It's become conflated with all of that argument from the front pages on asylum, on illegal immigration, that somehow says if you're an asylum seeker, you're a terrorist. No proof, no evidence. It's all in the heads of the newspaper editors. And that whole climate of apprehension is around us, whether we read the dirt that is in certain of those newspapers. Those front pages confront us each and every day. And they rise and they create that attitude, that feeling of distrust, of fear. What are people seeing when they look at me if I wear hijab? And my God, what is this obsession with what women are wearing? You know? That here we go again. It's an opening for all the misogynists, all the sexists who want to be obsessed by what women are wearing, and now they're worried about what women are not showing. Well, I suppose that makes a change. And I think that what we're needing to do now is to defend our universal human rights, our right to protest, our right to act together against an illegal and unjust war. And that if this government is so concerned about the future of this planet, one of the best things it could do is actually stop its bombings, stop its flights, and give us peace. Thank you.
Thank you very much.